Welcome to Buena Vista. This is a bonus episode. My name is Andrew, and I am currently forming a blockade protesting the first ever Buena Vista live show. I'm out here holding up a sign that says podcasting is murder. People are pretty much ignoring me as they walk past into the show. I can hear the sounds of laughter, making me very, very upset. I don't like it at all. I turn to my friend Ben, who has just hurled a tin of beans at the doorway and superglued his own face to it. He looks to be in enormous discomfort and is really only just realizing for the first time what's going to happen now that he's dumped a huge amount of superglue into his beard that is stuck to the glass of the Gympie Pavilion doorway. How's it going, Ben?
Oh, I'm going great, thank you. This is going to hurt a lot.
If I were you, I would have glued my face to the door like at standing face height, but you chose to kind of bend over a little as you lean forward, and now you're going to be stuck in that pose.
Yeah, I really, I think I massively overestimated my own stamina. I'm already bored. I didn't really factor in that I would be stuck with my own thoughts for so much time. It's quite unpleasant.
That protester keeps yawning.
Asking if someone can hand me my phone. I left my phone in the car. If someone could just plonk that over here, that would be delightful.
Hey, come on. Thanks, but it's on 15%.
If we could just get a charger from inside the building, maybe.
Somebody run a cable? Anything? Anyone? Just hearing your grunts of discomfort as yet another person ignores you while they open the door to go inside.
Oop, sorry, just let me. Oop, oop.
Let me just shuffle out of the way. Yep. We did a live show. The protesters are plenty. They tried to cancel us.
A lot of people say that those protesters are annoying, that they don't really drum up any public support, but I say, you're talking about it.
You're talking about it. Although, you know, there is the argument
we're talking about it.
There is the argument that awareness of the Buena Vista podcast is at an all-time high already.
That is true.
What more could people need to know about it besides, what's kind of going on with the scenarios at the start?
Yeah.
Are they ever going to pick that back up? You know, they sort of set a scene at the start, and then at the end of the show, it's like, what was the resolution of that?
What was the point of it? You know? What did that do? I'm just disoriented, confused, and angry now.
I feel like we used to occasionally resolve the scenario.
I mean, when you say we, you would occasionally bring it back in the final sentences of the episode. But you know what? I don't think we need it. It's just there to... It's like the short bit at the start of the film, A Serious Man, where it's completely unrelated to the narrative in any way, shape, or form, and it just sort of sets the tone of the movie.
I haven't seen it.
Or maybe something you have seen. It's like the Crimson Permanent Assurance from the start of The Meaning of Life.
Okay.
Monty Python movie, you know, the short with it. Although I think that the building from the Crimson Permanent Assurance does come back later in the movie, maybe.
Oh, terrible news, everybody. Terrible, terrible breaking news here. Terrible breaking news here. A young magpie outside my window has been knocked to the ground and is writhing around on his back with his little legs in the air.
Knocked to the ground by what?
By a larger magpie.
Oh, no. That sucks.
Well, it's more of a... We've just had the classic swooping season here in Canberra, which is where the magpies are nesting. And if you walk near their tree, they go... Ah, and they come down... And they try to peck your eyes out. It's charming.
Mm.
A lot of people don't care for it. You know, to each their own.
Being swooped by magpies?
Yeah. I have to say, though, I recently knocked on a magpie, right?
To the authorities?
I went to
you
the...
You reported a magpie to the app that says where the swooping magpies are?
Well, I asked, what's the deal, right? Because... I have heard that the council will, like, relocate magpies, right? And our house backs onto, like, nature reserve and a creek and stuff. There is a footpath that, if you follow it, just goes down to the kids' school quite nearby. And we walk them to school all the time. But over the last several years, there's been a magpie nesting in a tree just out of that path. And it will swoop specifically children who walk, who dare to walk to school on this footpath that is near the school. Won't swoop adults, which is very funny to me. Leaves the adults alone, waits for the kids to be by themselves.
Well, that's just prudent, because the kids can't defend themselves properly. They can't just punch a bird out of the sky.
That's right. Bullies them mercilessly. We'll just give them a light swooping and then go back to the tree, right? And so we've spent the last couple of springtimes, you know, out on the deck, delighting in the screams of neighborhood children as they are terrified by this local bird. But this year, this bird has been out of pocket. This bird has been swooping children, adults, people on bikes, dogs, anybody and everybody. And not only will it swoop you, it will continue to follow you for several hundred meters as you move away from the tree. You would think that once you were clearly cowed and retreating, that the magpie would be like, my job here is done.
Yeah, I've put in the work, and now this horrible thing has fucked off away from my precious eggs.
That's
and
right.
I can go back to twittering and making all sorts of delightful bird noises.
But no, this one says, I need to know where you live. So it does that. And also, it has begun, basically its purview has been expanding this whole time, and it has started to include both our backyard and our front yard in its swoopable zones. So if during nesting season, my children dare to go into their own backyard, the magpie comes over and swoops them repeatedly until they go back inside.
Mm.
Same for the front yard. It's fine for me. I go out there, I mow the lawn, the magpie casually watches me. The kids come out to say, hey, what's going on? And it goes, get them! And swoops them repeatedly till they go back inside. So everyone's kind of having a bad time, right? And it got to a point where I was like, all respect to birds, but I feel like my kids should be able to leave the house.
Yeah.
You know? So I called up the council and said, hey, what's the deal if there's a really angry magpie that simply will not let it go?
What if we've got a sort of a razorback situation, but instead of a giant feral pig, it's a normal-sized magpie that's just kind of a dick?
Yeah. What if we have a razorbeak situation?
Exactly.
And they said, oh, okay, well, first thing we'll do is we'll put it on the big calendar of angry birds.
We'll unlock the gun cabinet.
We'll turn around and put a red pin in the map, you know? We'll report this. And they said, we don't really do the relocating thing. They said, it doesn't really work. What tends to happen is that, because I had heard, I think it was my mum had said to me at some point, oh, well, that, you know, they do like, the wildlife people do bird relocations and they'll move them somewhere else. And apparently that can just kind of reset them, you know, it'll turn them on off and on again. But this person from the council said, well, what we have found is that if you move a magpie to somewhere else, either they will immediately turn around and fly back to where they were.
Yeah, they can do that.
In the fashion of a bird. or the local magpies in the area that you have moved them to will kill them.
Mob justice.
So, they said, now we just euthanize the birds. And I went, hold on. Hold on now. Wait. They said, if there is a bird that is in a zone where it's genuinely dangerous to people, like this one crashed into Elna's head recently.
Oh, that's bad.
Like just slammed into her, you know. And you know, like one of the kids has been swooped in a way where it's like clawing around in their hair and then they got like blood coming down their scalp afterwards and stuff. Nobody's enjoying this, right? So they say, if this is happening, they said, we don't just come out and you can't just point at a bird and we come out and go death to that bird.
That's the guy. That's the guy that did it.
They said, we do a sequence of bird inspections and we try to verify for ourselves that this is a dangerous bird.
We shuttle a few sacrificial children into the area, see how the bird interacts with them.
some child-sized dummies, you know. but instead, they come on down and they have a look and they put up a few signs that say, "Warning, cranky bird." But if the bird is still hurting people and stuff, they will just euthanize the bird. And I was like, you know what? Forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. I'm fine.
It might have injured my wife and my children, but I feel like I kind of understand this bird.
Yeah, it's like, I wasn't really asking for the bird to be killed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Couple of terrorized children. Come on. But anyway, we are now outside of that period of time. We've gone from sweeping season where you have magpies terrorizing everybody to constantly hearing the sound of young magpies going, ah, 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 because they want to be fed.
Yeah.
So anytime that you look out on your lawn, you can see an adult magpie walking around and getting worms and a younger gray magpie behind it going, feed me. And occasionally, if they're annoying enough, the larger magpie will turn around and basically just like kick them over. Bah! Knock them down to the ground. And they wriggle around like a little pathetic worm, you know?
Ironic.
Feet up in the air. Yeah. The pathetic bird becomes the worm.
I've heard that. Yeah.
One of life's real truisms. My goodness. Folks, there are many ways to dispose of the birds in your neighborhood. Some of them good, some of them bad, some of them deliberate, some of them not. It's time to find out about a non-deliberate way of disposing birds. In PSA per segment. We don't have a...
We don't. We need. We should probably get one of those. We've done it two or three times.
Okay. This comes to us from the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission. Backyard Nature Products recalls Bird's Choice acrylic bird baths due to fire hazard. You don't want that. The birds don't want that.
No. Now, before we get into this article, do you want to take a guess at how a bird bath is a fire hazard?
It's made out of something that's clearly very flammable.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish I could see this thing and determine if it's like see-through or not.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track here.
Yep.
Yeah.
If it's got any, say, magnifying type qualities.
Yes, you've nailed it in one.
This recall involves Bird's Choice hanging and pole-mounted acrylic bird baths, which were sold in red, yellow, and clear colors. Birds would just be running into it. The 14-inch wide in diameter bird bath includes a hanging chain and hook and pole mount. Consumers should immediately stop using the recalled acrylic bird baths and contact Backyard Nature Products to return them for a full refund. The company will email consumers prepaid shipping labels or send labels by mail. Backyard Nature Products is contacting all known purchasers directly. This is mainly what government surveillance is all about.
Finding out who purchased a Bird's Choice hanging and pole-mounted acrylic bird bath.
Yep. Look them up on the big NSA list.
Yeah.
When sunlight goes through the recalled bird bath's acrylic surfaces onto nearby wooden surfaces, such as, say, a deck, the wood surface can overheat, posing a fire hazard. The firm has received two reports of the recalled bird baths causing overheating, smoking, fire, and scorching to homes' decking and siding. Accidentally putting this one up near the hammock?
Bad
time.
You're doing the like James Bond laser scene to yourself, but it's just the sun moving through the sky with your bird bath / 14-inch magnifying glass that's pointed directly at your timber house.
Waking up with the crotch of my Tommy Bahama shorts ablaze. No injuries have been reported. That's nice.
Yeah, yet.
Well, give it time. The product has been available at bird and pet supply stores, garden and nursery stores, hardware stores, and mass merchandisers nationwide and online at homedepot.com, lowes.com, amazon.com, walmart.com, target.com, wayfair.com, house.com, and various other websites from January 2010 through May 2022, for between $34 and $43.
So for 12 years, people have been buying these from every single store in America. You're fucked.
Remember that bird bath we bought in 2011?
Yeah, like Lowe's is not going to contact you about the house destroyer bird bath you purchased in 2013. They're simply not going to do it.
Remember when we were coming home from seeing the movie Drive starring Ryan Gosling and I said, we should get a bird bath?
But I don't want one that's going to clash with the colors of the house. So maybe something clear, I think, might be the best bet. Yeah, that's no bueno. I mean, I don't know whose job it is to design mass-produced cheap bird baths. I don't know if that's one person. I don't know if that's a team of people. I don't know if there's a review process. You don't anticipate that you're creating a powerful lens for the sun's harmful rays. You're like, oh, this would be nice. Birds can drink out of it.
Can we? I want to quickly have a little look at this clear bird bath, if we've got one. Bird's choice. I mean, let's not speak on behalf of the birds.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real beggars can't be choosers situation. It's not like you've got several bird baths up there. They do have a photo of it. So it's a clear dish with a sort of ripple kind of edge of a clamshell effect at the fringes. But otherwise, it's just a perfect lens in the middle.
It has a bit of a, almost kind of a 50s-ish.
Yeah. You
know, kind of ruffle vibe to it.
It's ugly as shit. It's not a particularly nice looking bird bath, I will say. So it's got two bad things about it.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out what quantifies like a nice looking bird bath, you know.
Well, I reckon the classic is fine. Those sort of fake carved stone ones everyone has, you know, the Grecian plinth style.
Oh dear, I'm looking at some frankly embarrassing Amazon listings for bird baths in which they have clearly just photoshopped all of the birds into the product photos.
Oh, that's terrible. The birds didn't make a choice.
You can't even get a bird on that thing, and I'm supposed to believe that it's the bird's choice, you know? Bloody virtual birds.
It's good to know that it's no longer available on Amazon. You click on the link and it just says, no, you're not buying that.
No, good. Due to deaths and such. Oh, falsely advertising bird baths with pictures of birds that were never there. If you ask me, that ought to be a crime. It's time for Crime Watch.
Please put down your weapon. You are in direct violation of Penal Code Black 13, Section 9. You now have 5 seconds to comply.
This is where we watch the crime. From WIVB in Buffalo, New York, the Wooverba. 12-year-old accused of robbing M&T Bank. What's that hustle? That hustle and grind set. Buffalo police confirmed to News 4 that a 12-year-old boy is accused of robbing a bank on Friday. At approximately 11:30 a.m., the boy reportedly entered an M&T Bank branch on Jefferson Avenue, where he passed a note to a teller demanding cash, according to authorities. The boy reportedly left with a small amount of cash. Are we picturing, like, piggy bank kind of amount?
Yeah, they've given him, like, just a roll of quarters. Here you go.
Here you go, little fella.
Don't spend them all at once.
Do you think you would have been brave enough to rob a bank at 12, Ben?
Oh, I don't think so. I also would have foolishly, as a 12-year-old, that assumed that a 12-year-old boy with a piece of paper would not be able to successfully rob a bank. I would have assumed I needed a gun, a team of elite heist men in suits.
And then, you know, the question becomes, what's my take on this small amount of cash that I'm leaving with?
Yeah. You know?
I need a master forger to write my note that I'm going to slide across the counter. Police say they took the boy into custody on East Utica Street. They say the boy did not display a weapon, other than his keen intellect.
And his confidence. That's just... I can't tell if this is a story of, like, tragic desperation.
Yeah.
In a poverty-stricken area, or if it's an adorable story of someone having watched a movie too many times and then being like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah. I'm with you where this kind of feels like the... this feels like the Dark Mirror version of the stories about, like, a kid who raised enough money to, like, buy his mum a car to go to her fourth job.
Yeah, he spent all summer mowing lawns for 12 hours a day so that he could buy school lunches for other kids who couldn't afford them type deal.
Yeah. This kid was like, I need to help my friends buy school lunches. I'm robbing a bank.
Yeah.
And look, let's be real. 12-year-olds shouldn't have to rob a bank. No. They should be doing it because they want to.
That's right.
It should be, you know, a crime of passion. Crime of opportunity. Not a crime of desperation.
That's right. Yeah. Not a crime of despair. A crime of joy.
Make robbing banks fun again. You know? Just like in the Michael Mann movie Public Enemies, starring the incredibly cancelled and cursed Johnny Depp.
Haven't seen it. It looked like shit. I didn't realize it was a Michael Mann movie until way later.
It is. It has the very weird, like, you know how Michael Mann, for whatever period of time, has been filming stuff on, like, digital video?
Mm-hmm.
So, in movies like Collateral and Black Hat and Miami Vice and stuff, there will be a lot of shots in it where it really looks like somebody is shooting it on, like, a handheld video camera kind of thing. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
It took me a while to come around to that as a style of filming because there's a, I don't know, there's like a certain sort of...
kind of cheapness to it almost.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's also an immediacy to it. I guess I'm saying I can understand why people don't like it. I can also understand why people do like it. What I can say for certain is... I think that it works better in a modern context, as in, like, a film that is set in the present, like Miami Vice or Collateral or Black Hat or whatever. It was very weird to me watching a movie that's set, like, in the Great Depression.
Mm, it's weird. It doesn't really make sense.
And it feels like it's being... it really, really feels like it's being shot on a video camera as opposed to just looking like a movie. You know what I mean? It's very, very strange to have, like, that kind of period piece and then be like, sure looks like digital video. I just want to say, for the record, I do understand that the film is not actually taking place in the period in which it is set.
The just film saying. Is not taking place in the period in which it is set.
So, this is a problem that my wonderful wife has. Where... sometimes with a movie, she'll be like, was this movie made in the 70s or is it set in the 70s?
All right, sure. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And then that becomes worse for her if it's like a movie that was made in the 70s but set in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's fucking her right up.
Yeah. I definitely got confused about that when I was a child. Well, I thought the movie Grease was made in the 50s.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. I think that as a child, she would have very much thought that Grease was made in the 50s. And as an adult, it's something that she's finally learned to accept.
Mm.
That John Travolta is not 150 years old. I'm not sure that checks out. How old would John Travolta have to have been if it was in the 50s? But then he looks like he's like fucking... 90. He looks like he's 40 in Grease anyway, so...
He just kind of looked like that for a while.
He did. He really stuck it out there for a good bit. Wasn't it Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull, who convinced John Travolta to finally just have his shaved head instead of wearing his wigs?
I have no fucking idea.
That's the story. Just googling John Travolta, Pitbull. Last year, Travolta also revealed that Pitbull inspired his shaved head look.
All right, that's less exciting. Inspired versus convinced. Like, if Pitbull pulled him aside, was like, hey, John, I respect you. I like you. I like your movies. I like your work. You seem like an okay person. I got to tell you, no one's buying what's going on with your hair. Just get a brawn, do a number zero, take it all off. Spend a week away from everyone you know so that tan comes back in on your head because it hasn't really seen the sun properly.
Mm-hmm.
Go back out into the world.
Travolta says, a good friend of mine, Armando Perez, or Pitbull, if you will. I didn't need to know his real name. As far as I'm concerned, he dropped out of the womb like that. He lives his life like this. He would send pictures of me where I have all my hair, and he'd superimpose no hair and say, I prefer this.
What?
So I thought, maybe it's time to do it.
Okay, I take that back. That was direct action from Pitbull. Johnny T, look how good you look, King, with no hair.
And look, that's a nice way to do it. That's
present the hypothetical.
That's very different to saying you need to let this go.
Yeah. You look ugly as shit, dog.
You are embarrassing all of us when you insist that the rest of the film and music community pretend along with you that is your hair.
Yeah.
You are just forcing humiliation on one and all of us. I can't take it anymore.
There's a good parenting technique in there, I think, of not making someone feel bad about the choice that they're currently making, but showing them the joy in a better choice that they could be making.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Showing them the potential, the future potential, you know?
Yeah.
And of course that it's, you're always better off to be true to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And to your hair.
Don't do something just because Pitbull thinks it would be a good idea. Do it because you think it would be a good idea.
You should, however, take Pitbull's advice if Pitbull is encouraging you to be the real you.
If Pitbull tells you something, at least consider it.
Consider it.
Yeah.
Ask yourself first.
If you see Pitbull on the road, ask him how your hair looks.
If you're at an Alaskan Walmart and you run into Pitbull, and he gives you some advice, be reasonable. Say to yourself, does Pitbull have any vested interest in this outcome?
Yeah.
And if you can't see any possible way in which Pitbull has a real, like, profit motive for the suggestion that he's making, then, you know, consider it at face value. Pitbull, it's kind of dog. Dogs, one of nature's most beautiful inventions.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Truly a blind watchmaker inventing dogs.
Oh, what if he had a nice little head for you to scratch? Mm. You know? What if he had a tail he could wag? Yes. Many, many types of things out there in nature. Some dogs will let you pat them. Some will bite you when presented with a hand. Some other creatures, such as bees, some of them are soft. Little bumblebees. They're pretty cool looking. If people who've never encountered a bumblebee, maybe stop and look one up.
Yep. If you're driving, you can sort of hold your phone and the steering wheel at the same time and open Google Images.
If you don't want to get hassled by the police, make sure to hold the phone below the window frame height. And then do what I can only surmise everybody in the world thinks they're very good at and just kind of glance down, you know? Just glance
because you can drive with your peripheral vision. Other cars are quite large.
You'll know if you're about to hit one. Some bees, however, if given the opportunity, will sting you. Folks, it's time for Nature Corner.
Country roads take me home to the place I belong. Winter is up, Nature Corner.
Beautiful. This is a press release from Queen Mary University of London. Study shows bumblebees play. Bumblebees play, according to new research led by Queen Mary University of London, published in Animal Behaviour. It is the first time that object play behaviour has been shown in an insect, adding to mounting evidence that bees may experience positive feelings.
Love
that's
that
just nice. Yeah. I never really thought about bees being happy or sad, but now that I know that they can experience happiness.
Do you think the Queen ever gives feedback?
To whom?
Oh, the bees. You are doing a great job.
Oh, sure. Right. Like positive reinforcement. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for that pollen. I fucking love pollen.
I've had my eye on you, and you have harvested so much pollen.
I mean, you're all almost identical in form, behavior, all of it. But you work a drone 27,342. I love what you're doing the most. Right. Got a little pep in your step. The team of researchers set up numerous experiments to test their hypothesis, which showed that bumblebees went out of their way to roll wooden balls repeatedly, despite there being no apparent incentive for doing so. Other than the thrill of the game. The study has also found that younger bees rolled more balls than older ones, mirroring human behavior of young children and other juvenile mammals and birds, being the mirroring human behavior of young children and other juvenile mammals and birds being the most playful. It's a very confusing sentence. And the male bees rolled them for longer than their female counterparts. The study followed 45 bumblebees. That's a lot, but not that many.
I'm kind of picturing like a, what's that documentary? Like 7 Up, 14 Up?
Yeah, but for bees, yeah.
Yeah, just following them around. We're just checking in on bee number 22.
Come back 7 years later. Oh, yep. You've all died since. Okay. No, that checks out.
Determining that immediately in, Bumblebee 4.
Yeah.
And then not really knowing what to do with the funding that you had for checking back in on them every 4 years for the rest of your own life, I guess.
You'd have to do... I reckon you could do 7 days. Apparently, bumblebees live for about 28 days. Damn. What? No, hang on. Oh, I don't know if I trust the website A to Z Animals. That can't be right. Beehive Hero, though, I trust. Let's see, what do they say?
I think there's an incentive for rolling balls that we're not really getting into here, which is, they say there's no apparent incentive. I would suggest that the bees are trying to get good enough to compete in the British Snooker Open and maybe win a great deal of money. And let's be honest, any amount of money is a great deal of money to a bee.
That's true. They don't have a lot of living expenses. They've got their food and board sorted already. They don't tend to have a lot of hobbies. No vices. They're not taxed. Bumblebee queens live about a year, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Worker bumblebees live somewhere between 2 and 6 weeks, and bumblebee males live a pathetic little 2 weeks.
So, to your average bee, the queen is nearly immortal.
Yeah, if you were a worker bee, you would view your queen as something akin to the emperor of mankind from Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe like a bit of a vampire sort of vibe where like they haven't been alive forever.
But a really fucking long time.
They've been alive for a long time before you were here, and they're going to stay alive for a long time after you're gone.
So yeah, that's like 25 times the lifespan there. Nope, 12. Yeah, maybe. Let's say. Yeah. So it'd be like having a 1,000-year-old king. If Queen Elizabeth II, instead of dying at the age of 96, had lived to be 1,000 years old.
I think maybe a more apt comparison is that in this scenario, the bees are normal people and the queen is more of a Highlander.
Yeah, sure.
Because she can absolutely die.
Yeah, she's not immortal.
You can cut the head off a Highlander, you can step on a bee, she can absolutely die, she can be killed, but as far as you're concerned, she's pretty immortal. live for a very long time.
Yeah.
Plus, it's also not exactly clear why you become immortal in the first place.
Yeah, the rules are real hazy.
The rules are very vague.
Not clear why you don't remember or know that you're an immortal.
Yeah.
Whether your parents were immortals. Although that'll get cleared up in either the anime or the TV series or the books or any of the six movies, maybe.
It definitely won't get cleared up in the second movie.
No, that's for sure. That'll only complicate things. sorry, I've lost my place here. The study followed 45 bumblebees in an arena and gave them the options of walking through an unobstructed path to reach a feeding area or deviating from this path into the areas with wooden balls. Individual bees rolled balls between 1 and, impressively, 117 times over the experiment.
Huh.
The repeated behavior suggested that ball rolling was rewarding.
Well, that's true. I'm picturing that they were doing this in Wembley Stadium.
I assume so.
Following them around.
Oh, the arena they're talking about is the O2 Arena. Is that in London?
Is that the same? Like, the problem with this whole thing is that they keep changing sponsors and then they just change the name of the venue.
Oh, so sure, yeah.
I assume that for a lot of people, there's like an era that they identify a large sporting venue as being from, and in their mind, it will forever be the O2 Arena.
Yeah, it's like Suncorp Stadium and Lang Park and Dairy Farmers Stadium and 1300 Smiles Stadium and Marvel and whatever the fuck. I hate that shit. I definitely think people should have
Marvel
that.
Marvel Stadium.
Geez. Marvel Stadium is so terrible. I think the style guide of never referring to, I think Deadspin did it, and I think the ABC might do it, of never referring to them by their sponsored, like, by the sponsor names. Oh, no, the ABC calls it Suncorp Stadium. No, that's depressing.
In 2008, the O2 Arena was the world's busiest music arena. 2008, that's a long time ago.
That's a little while ago, yeah. Yeah, no, the ABC definitely does do it. That sucks. Don't do it. Call it Lang Park. That is my my one request. This was supported by a further experiment where another 42 bees were given access to two colored chambers, one always containing movable balls and one without any objects. When tested and given a choice between the two chambers, neither containing balls, bees showed a preference for the color of the chamber which was previously associated with the wooden balls. Rolling balls did not contribute to survival strategies such as gaining food, clearing clutter, or mating, and was done under stress-free conditions. The research builds on previous experiments from the same lab at Queen Mary, which show that bumblebees can be taught to score a goal by rolling a ball to a target in exchange for a sugary food reward.
Well, now we're talking.
You can also train me to do that. I will score a goal if you put a beer at the end. I'll do it. You can repeat that experiment.
As many times as you like.
During the previous experiment, the team observed that bumblebees rolled balls outside of the experiment without getting any food reward. The new research showed the bees rolling balls repeatedly without being trained and without receiving any food for doing so. It was voluntary and spontaneous, therefore akin to play behavior as seen in other animals. That's just fucking adorable. Good on them.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, did we sort out that whole all the bees are dying thing?
I think we've still got some left. I can tell you that much.
Maybe it turned out we just needed more 5G towers.
Yeah, that might be it.
That was probably it. Everybody was worried that that was what was doing it. The bees were like, please, I don't have enough 5G. Please. All of my extremely mortal drones are dying.
Yeah.
We need 5G to bolster us.
Huawei, we need your precious 5G.
Oh, hey, are you concerned about 5G conspiracies? You know, what's it doing to my brain? Oh, what's in this water that I'm drinking? Could it be the dreaded fluoride? Let's find out right now. slightly perturbed face there from Ben.
Yeah, sure.
Let's find out right now in Water Watch. I think 5G towers to fluoride in the water supply is a completely legitimate
connection. Makes sense. I think there's a lot of shared beliefs around those two things.
This comes to us from the Associated Press. The ape. Vermont town employee quietly lowered fluoride in water for years.
Mm.
Thank you, brave soldier. The fight against having teeth that don't crumble when you try to eat an apple that's a little too firm. Residents of a small community in Vermont were blindsided last month by news that one official in their water department quietly lowered fluoride levels nearly 4 years ago, giving rise to worries about their children's dental health and transparent government, and highlighting the enduring misinformation around water fluoridation. Katie Mather, who lives in Richmond, a town of about 4,100 in northwestern Vermont, said at a water commission meeting this week that her dentist recently found her two kids' first cavities. She acknowledged they eat a lot of sugar. Tons of sugar. Crazy amounts of sugar, said Katie. But noted that her dentist recommended against supplemental fluoride because the town's water should be doing the trick.
Yep. Should be.
Like, your kids are just gonna... They are gonna get cavities. You know. Ideally, you're on top of it before they start getting crazy. I guess, you know, my kids have had a cavity or two, little ones, and my first impulse was not to say, we need to bolster your level of fluoride. Let's get some more fluoride into you.
I mean, it was probably the dentist that was making this call, more nope. so than the mum going in.
You think she went in going, I am going to get a prescription for fluoride pills.
Give them some fucking fluoride right now.
What form do you think you get supplemental fluoride in?
No, I don't know. Water, mostly.
I mean... pardon me. Fluoride supplements can be prescribed for children ages 6 months to 16 years, it turns out. It can be delivered topically and systemically. Topical fluoride strengthen teeth already present in the mouth. Not just strengthening future teeth,
yeah.
Strengthen your hypothetical teeth, making them more decay-resistant, while systemic fluorides are those that are ingested and become incorporated into forming tooth structures. Systemic fluorides also provide topical protection because fluoride is present in saliva, which continually bathes the teeth.
A disgusting phrase.
Did you know that at all times of the day and night, your tongue is bathing your teeth?
Like a sickly Victorian boy. They're just being bathed constantly.
In a warm bath of saliva. Mm-mm. So self-applied topical fluorides include toothpastes, mouth rinses, and gels. Professionally applied topical fluorides include higher strength rinses, gels, and foams, fluoride varnishes, and silver diamine fluoride. Okay. Community water fluoridation is the process of adjusting the fluoride content of fluoride-deficient water to the recommended level for optimal dental health, not optimental health.
Yeah, don't even know what that would...
Which is currently recommended at 0.7 parts fluoride per million parts water, or if you live in this town, I don't know, 0.1?
Yep.
0.2?
Bad zero. Bubkis.
Just down a little bit.
Zilch.
Her dentist, quote, was operating and making professional recommendations based on state standards we all assumed were being met, which they were not, Mather said. It's the fact we didn't have the opportunity to give our informed consent that gets to me. Although, if you asked Kendall Chamberlain, fluoride lowerer, he would say that people didn't have informed consent about consenting to getting fluoride.
Yeah,
in the first
about what's
place.
Going into their bodies, yeah.
No, he would have been like, do your kids really understand fluoride? Do they know what they're drinking? The answer is, who cares? No one cares what they're drinking. Come on. Kendall Chamberlain, Richmond's water and wastewater superintendent, told the Water and Sewer Commission in September that he reduced the fluoride level because of his concerns about changes to its sourcing and the recommended levels. He said he worries about quality control in the fluoride used in U.S. drinking water systems because it comes from China.
Yep. There we go.
China.
There it is.
An assertion that echoes unfounded reports about Chinese fluoride that have circulated online in recent years. And he said he doesn't think the state's recommended level of fluoride is warranted right now. Quote, my duty is to take reasonable care and judgment for the protection of public health, safety, and the environment of my customers, he said. Adding that, quote, to err on the side of caution is not a bad position to be in. Now, he sounds pretty comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Chamberlain's decision flabbergasted residents and doctors.
I would be somewhat flabbergasted if it turned out it was possible for one guy to just keep turning down the tap that says fluoride. Just be like, ah, no, that's too much.
You don't want, like, it's a bad day at work when a group of doctors has been directly flabbergasted by your actions.
Yes. I have to flabbergast no one as I go about my daily business.
I would love a flabbergast-free day at work. Days since last flabbergasting. Putting that back to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, for a single person to unilaterally make the decision that this public health benefit might not be warranted is inappropriate. I think it's outrageous, retired Dr. Alan Knowles said at the September 19th meeting. He said he has an 8-month-old granddaughter he thought was getting adequately fluoridated water. Everyone's going to be sipping the water in that town from now on saying, does this taste adequately fluoridated to you?
It doesn't taste like fluoride to me. I can't taste any.
Do you feel like your teeth are getting an appropriately fluoridated saliva bath right now?
How are your teeth feeling? Check your teeth.
Eh. Fluoride, again, is one of the most successful and important public health measures that has ever been undertaken in this country, Knowles said. The reduction in dental disease is just inarguable. You don't establish safety based on one person's opinion or one study of this or that. End quote. In sparsely populated and largely rural Vermont, 29 of the 465 public water systems voluntarily fluoridate, and just over half of residents served by a public system get fluoridated water, according to the Vermont Department of Health. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Just over half of us.
So wild.
The state's standard level is based on federal recommendations. Towns that fluoridate must maintain levels within the state's recommendations and submit monthly reports to the state health department. The state's former fluoride program manager, who retired in 2019, had tried working with Chamberlain and his team in Richmond, quote, and things would improve for a while, but drop back down again, Robin Miller, the director of the Office of Oral Health, wrote in an email to the AP.
So they'd be like, huh, that's weird, the fluoride levels are low. While this guy would be like, yeah, that's totally crazy, and then walk back over the wall and just start turning the tap back down.
They'd give you just a little extra fluoride just to tide you over until the next report. Miller said she didn't realize the town's fluoride number had been consistently low for so long until March this year. After a site visit by the state in April, the levels did not improve, so Miller contacted the Richmond town manager in June, who requested she attend the meeting in September, she said. At the second meeting Monday, the one at which Katie Mather raised concerns about her children's teeth, Chamberlain, who doesn't live in town and appeared online, read a statement of apology. Certified Bunta Vista Oofa Doofa moment.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, words cannot express how sorry I am for causing this controversy, he said. Believe me when I say I have always only had good intentions based on a misunderstanding. I promise I will make sure nothing like this ever happens again. End quote from the man who just realized he's absolutely going to get fired.
Yes. Yeah, very much so.
That's a real I care more about staying in this job than I do about that whole fluoride thing kind of statement. I will turn the fluoride back up if it means me not getting fired.
Yeah, I'm happy for our kids to be brainwashed with Chinese fluoride.
That's right. I will put the chemtrail liquid directly into your children's dinner every night if you let me stay in this government job.
So what I'm getting is that this guy is a coward. He secretly did it behind people's back because he couldn't advocate for it in person. Yep. And then the moment he got caught, he was like, I don't care. It's fine, whatever. Fluoride, lead.
I didn't mean it.
I'll put it all in there. What do you want?
My bad.
Sodium pentothal? I'll chuck it in there. LSD? Yep. If I've got it, it's going in.
Whack it in. Fentanyl. Throw some fentanyl in the big jug. A former Richmond employee who worked under Chamberlain pointed out the monthly report is reviewed by the town manager and goes to the state. Quote, It's not just one guy doing what he wants. He's bringing these reports to his boss, who signs them, said Eric Bailey, now the village manager in Johnson. They got a town manager and a village manager?
Well, it takes a village and a town.
Takes a number of villages to be a town. Is that right?
No. Hmm. But it's one village of sufficient size as a town, and then a town of sufficient size.
Well, then it's not a village anymore.
Yeah.
So what's he managing?
Good point.
Maybe in this place, maybe a village is what we might think of as a suburb, perhaps, you know?
That would be genuinely insane for an American town to have that convention, but it might well be true.
Yep. Crazier things have happened over there, like putting fluoride in the water.
That's true.
Town manager, which, there we go. Town manager Josh Arneson said that Chamberlain and other staffers always told him levels were acceptable. He said he first heard from the state in June about the consistently low levels. The commission voted to return the water to full fluoridation. It's not clear whether anyone could face professional repercussions. Personnel issues were discussed in a closed session. Hey, what's to be done about that, honestly?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he gets to keep his job now that he's, you know, not going to do it again. Maybe. Or he'll just start slipping other shit in there and then wait, like, months for people to find out.
He does a little pinky promise that he's going to sort it out. And then says, hey, no harm, no foul to the room full of people with crumbling teeth.
Yeah. But do give me 24 hours notice if you're going to come and inspect the plant.
They're doing... I mean, if I were him, I would just be doing like... I'd be doing the fake piss test kind of thing.
Or getting clean water from a different town.
Yeah. I'd be getting a big water cooler full of adequately fluoridated water. And then every month when you're meant to do it, it's a little test. Bloop. Some of that into a little bottle. Send that off to your boss. Hey. Plenty of fluoride around here.
Yeah. God, there's so much fluoride.
It's so cool when people try to fake piss tests. have you ever had to do a piss test of any kind?
I mean, only for medical reasons. I've never had been, like, drug tested or anything.
Right, just because the doctor wanted a little sip.
Yeah, just because the doctor was thirsty and I was around.
The doctor was like, let me dip my pinky in that bad boy. Have a little... Oh, this tastes adequately fluoridated. Well, you know, at least maybe if you do ever get tested like that, you'll have an opportunity to break out one of those Tom Sizemore rubber penises, you know?
Yeah.
Although, that one didn't really work for him. I think by the time you have to have your piss tested for suspicion-based reasons... somebody will usually be trying to look at you while you're doing it.
Yeah. But I mean, you never hear about the people that get away with it because they got away with it. So it doesn't go into the public record.
Yeah. I would forego the rubber penis and I would just drink enough of somebody else's clean piss to then be able to piss that out, you know?
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Dilute my piss with your piss. The only way I know how, by chugging several liters of it, you know? Folks, we are going to have to keep it bloody tight today because I have messed up and need to take my kids to a little weekend activity. And if I get there late, going to bloody hear about it. Anyway, that has been an episode of Punta Vista. Thank you very much to everybody who came out to our live show the other night.
Yeah, that was an absolute fucking treat.
We had a great time. It was good fun. We are talking about lining up some more live shows soon, so keep your eyes peeled for information about that. We love you all very much. I'm giving each of you a kiss on the forehead in turn.
Mwah. I will do a sort of more business-like handshake, but the sentiment is roughly the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a weird vibe when I go down the line first with the kiss and then Ben follows up with a handshake.
Congratulations. 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 Thank you. Congratulations.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.